Please give a warm, warm, warm round of applause to Miss Henna Maria. Come join us all the way from Spain. Yeah, make some noise. Make some noise for Henna.
Thank you, Derek. Thanks for inviting me here. These flowers are an offering to all of you.
Nobody else non hoy ti me penki non kaya me denki pana pana bingi barari ben shonki oshe orizana wistin ori ben shon nai ori ben shon mai ori ben shonki paro ori sana niue ori ben shon ji ori ben shon
irake. This is an ancient prayer song given to me by a Shipibo curandero. It's called a Warmi Ikaro. So thank you to the Greater Reset team, all of you here today, and everyone who's tuning in online as well. It really is a great honor to be here and share of the wisdom that has been bestowed on me through my apprenticeship with Indigenous elders in the sacred art of ceremonial healing and ayahuasca medicine. I want to also thank the guardian spirits of this land and the undying imprints of the great Mayas, Aztecs, and Toltecs. I want to thank all the resilient indigenous communities of contemporary Mexico and all the tribes who still guard their sacred culture and traditions. I also want to thank my teachers from the Shipibo, Mestizo, Suomi, Sami, Lakota, and Essene lineages. I may appear to stand alone, but in truth, I'm here in behalf of all the carriers of medicine who still walk this beautiful earth. We as humanity are on the precipice of a new era. Will we end up losing the sacred essence of mankind and become consumed by transhumanism? Will we lose all spiritual traditions of our ancestors and become imprisoned by a materialist worldview where the only wonder is the next technological achievement or an AI fabrication? The most hunted down people on this earth have been and still are the indigenous. Indo is old Latin for in, within, and genus means to generate, birth, create. So someone who is indigenous is born from within. They create meaning and generate knowledge from within, from their direct connection to the source. They experience life inside out. And this is why they are the target number one for the powers that shouldn't be. They embody what it means to be a human being. They carry the essence of freedom. But when the source of all knowledge is within you, you depend on nobody. When you live in accordance to the laws of nature, self-sufficient and sovereign, you cannot be controlled. You cannot be manipulated through fear, as there is nothing you lack. Whereas in our contemporary consumerist culture, meaning is generated externally. Knowledge is acquired outside in. And thus we are orphaned on the lands that we're born on. We are no longer indigenous in the true sense of the word, as our original cultures in the West have been hijacked. We are exogenous. Having been alienated from our authentic nature, we live in absolute dependency, for we have lost the instincts and art required to live free. However, through rekindling our connection to the ever-present wisdom of the earth, we can reclaim our indigenous nature. How can we do that? Through the sacred medicines that have been placed in this creation for that very purpose. When I say medicine, I speak of medicine that can actually heal. The only medicine that can heal is living medicine that has its own consciousness, which materialized in nature by divine thought, like all of the beautiful medicinal trees, flowers, herbs, roots and vines and mushrooms, and the great visionary teachers like ayahuasca, coca, huachuma, tobacco, toe, peyote, carpasien, iboga, teotanatako, each carrying their own universe of knowledge. These medicines completely stand apart from the synthesized substances constructed in a sterile laboratory, which are not medicine, they are drugs. The original etymological root of the word drug is in ancient Farsi and Slavic language, drug meaning lie. So the pharmaceutical substances are indeed rightfully called drugs, as they create an illusion of healing by paralyzing the signals of disease that actually serve us, the same way that when a car is flashing a red light because its engine is overheating or running out of fuel. Instead of listening to the alarm of pain in our being, the pharmaceutical paradigm teaches us to shut it down, preventing us from ever discovering the root of the problem that our bodies are intelligently and lovingly warning us about. This is, of course, the perfect paradigm for an industry that is seeking lifelong customers. Imagine if people found out that there are medicines that can actually purify their blood, flush their organs, rewire their neural pathways, decalcify their brains, center their minds, open their hearts, and liberate their souls. Well, the good news is people are finding out, people like you. More and more people are beginning to realize that the allopathic model is not only flawed, but inherently anti-life, and are seeking another approach altogether. It's no longer a secret that death by modern medicine, iatrogenesis, is among the top three causes of death in America. So this monster of pharmakeia is beginning to reveal its ugly head now, after a century of us being captured by their false medicine. A proof of their powerful sorcery is how we have come to call natural medicine, the original medicine of this earth, alternative medicine. However, there is a gigantic wave of awareness sweeping the earth right now, accumulating ever more force and momentum as millions of people, maybe hundreds of millions of people, are waking up to the fraud of virology. Big up for you, Alec, and vaccines. Yet we must never underestimate the cunning and evil and the brilliance of our enemy. This entity is a shapeshifter. And the newest head that is emerging of this beast is what I call the neo-pharma. It is concealed under the attractive woke face of psychedelic research and psychedelic-assisted therapy. In other words, psychedelic psychiatry. The rise of the psychedelic neo-pharma is a continuum of the distorted and deeply dehumanizing values of psychiatry. The only thing that has changed in the formula is that instead of consciousness-numbing chemical concoctions like SSRIs, the neo-pharma is slithering their tentacles into the sacred space of plant medicines and is beginning to administer these immensely potent remedies in a spiritually sterile clinical setting, under the surveillance of a psychiatrist or a therapist. Or worse yet, they are actually extracting medicinal compounds like psilocybin and synthesizing them into a spiritually dead substance. This is a serious infiltration of indigenous culture and an attempt to destroy an integral part of human heritage. And it's time to sound the alarm. These medicines belong in ceremony and ceremony alone. Yes. So originally there were five primary purposes for communing with sacred visionary medicines or teacher plants. Firstly, they were taken for the purpose of counsel to seek remedy and solution. These medicines, they open a dimension of reality that is otherwise hidden from us, what we generally call the spiritual realm. Here I need to add, though, that this realm is actually inseparable from normal reality, as reality is inherently spiritual. However, there are forces and beings at play which we have lost the ability to sense or see. Colors, lights, patterns, principles, frequencies, and vibrations that shape our reality, which with the help of these medicines become tangible in the very real sense of the word. It is not that with this medicine we go somewhere where we normally don't go or shouldn't go, or that we are seeing things that don't exist. It's simply that we are able to become much more aware of the reality that we already live in. This is why the term hallucinogenic is totally wrong, as these plants enhance your inherent capacity to see into the spiritual reality. So spiritual counsel would be sought in order to receive guidance for the community, to help solve a crisis, or find the right response to a difficult situation. When the tribe would be facing a crisis, the elders, who were trained and initiated as shamans and curanderos, would go into ceremony to speak with spirit beings and enter into a deeper communion with the divine. It's important to understand that these messages would not be given to just anybody. One would have to undergo arduous purification rites to be able to tune into the subtle frequencies and gentle communications of spirit beings, plants, to correctly interpret the messages from the other side. Secondly, one would commune with these plants as an apprenticeship for the purpose of learning the sacred art of ceremonial healing. This is what is almost entirely missing from the Western psychedelic scene today. I'm constantly, sadly, coming across people who are serving medicine who have not completed the training to be leading ceremony. This incompetence goes unnoticed in a culture where true example and reference for skill has been almost entirely driven out. The Inquisition made sure that the ceremonial arts are legally practiced by the upper echelons of society alone when millions of practitioners of natural medicine were wiped out from the face of this earth. These days, the public is fed a belief that all spiritual practices are quackery. As ceremonial healing arts have become widely demonized and mocked in the modern world, the practitioners have to operate underground, and the entire field is in chaos without proper quality standards. But I see that the psychedelic neo-pharma is a continuation of the witch hunt, created to wipe out the last ceremonial traditions around these sacred medicines and replace them with psychology and associated concepts. Through the lens of the psychedelic neo-pharma, psyche is everything. The clue's in the name. The soul is non-existent. Entities and curses are seen as aspects of one's own persona, thus inviting people to embrace them rather than casting them out. It's about adoring the mind and becoming superior rather than healing the heart and stepping into service. It's about rewriting behavioral patterns rather than liberating the soul. It's all on the superficial layer. Thirdly, these medicines would be, of course, taken for the purpose of healing. Ayahuasca itself traditionally was only ingested by the curandero, as he was the one prepared to be able to commune with the spirit and channel the medicine. Akin to a traditional doctor's visit, the patient would go to ceremony for the purpose of being diagnosed and to receive treatment. Depending on the issue in question, it could be healed in a single ceremony or require a longer course of treatment. For instance, in the case of someone having a dark spirit or a curse attached to them, The curandero could diagnose this with the help of the medicine and potentially clear it out in one night. Similarly to someone going to get a bullet removed with modern surgery. Sometimes the issue would be more complex and could not be dealt with in a single ceremony. In such a case, the curandero would receive visions for a specific diet and a medicinal plant that would be given as a treatment to the patient during the days, weeks, or months after the ceremony. Sadly, once again, this practice and level of awareness is almost completely missing from the modern culture of ceremonies. Most ceremonial practitioners lack the training to be able to perform a proper diagnosis, let alone remove entities or curses that are causing the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual disturbance. Sometimes ayahuasca will kick out entities even without the work of the curandero. But these entities can easily return if the host does not close the doors that allowed them to enter in the first place. The saying, vampire does not come in uninvited, is true. These entities attach themselves to the wounds and dark deeds of our lives and our unhealed bloodlines. So in order to close the door to the intruders, there has to be awareness on how they get in. The responsibility of the curandero is to share this vital knowledge and guide the person seeking healing to walk the good path in life. A proper post-diet, like the aftercare instructions after a surgery, must always be administered after the ceremony with celibacy, bans on certain foods like pork, in order to calm and seal the energy field after the major spiritual operation has taken place. Self-destructive habits like unconscious and excessive sex, drinking and drugs must be quit once and for all to purify and protect the being. The aim of these medicines is not to give someone a temporary boost for their mood in order to make them more functional in society, but to inspire them to permanently move towards a life of fulfillment, connection, and spiritual freedom. After the Westerners came to the jungle and heard about ayahuasca, they asked to be able to drink the brew and enter into the communion themselves. And this seems to have been divine providence, as it has actually proved to significantly enhance the work of the curandero in ceremony. The joint intention and effort of the patient, who is actually called passenger, pasajero, in the circles, and the curandero can make the ceremonial healing that much more profound and effective, as long as the pasajero is properly prepared to enter the spiritual realm and is supported and guided through the journey in a safe and professional manner. One can't simply dive into a consciousness-expanding endeavor without proper preparation, just like the mountain climber needs their equipment, tools, maps, and guides in order to safely reach the summit. Fourth, sometimes the tribe would take the medicine together to collectively mark a significant event, to give thanks and celebrate, or to honor and mourn the life of a lost loved one. Lastly, the indigenous would commune with sacred medicines to prepare to die. In the ancient times, people would take very seriously their destination after moving from time to eternity. They would go into ceremony to purify and prepare themselves, to free themselves of fear, or commune with the divine in order to find solace. The name ayahuasca actually means the vine of the soul, or the vine of the death, as the journey with this medicine is akin to the spiritual experience of dying. The archetypal near-death experience is actually very similar to a ceremony. Beyond all else, ayahuasca is a moral medicine, an elixir of truth. Through the communion with this medicine, we are able to see the dimensions of our being that in the waking consciousness are covered by psychological defense mechanisms and destructive patterns. With the help of ayahuasca, we are able to access normally inaccessible memories and make profound realizations and connections. By communing with this medicine, the unconscious is being made conscious. Therein lives its medicine. And therefore, it is also extremely dangerous in the wrong hands. One has to prepare their psyche to face the reality of themselves and their lives, no matter how painful it could be. To digest and integrate the awareness received during ceremony, one must also be willing to make real-life changes. Therefore, one should not step into ceremony lightly, for it will show you who you are and who you are not. It will show you where your life is in alignment and where you are deceiving yourself. It will help you recognize patterns and even uncover repressed traumas or aspects of yourself that you are in denial about. So if you are not ready to make whatever change is necessary to heal yourself and your life, do not take these medicines. You first have to be willing to potentially give up your unhealthy relationship, your unfulfilling career, your false identities, and destructive patterns before these medicines can be of service to you. So to summarize, these medicines should be taken with a pure intention in their original rightful context, which is ceremony. If our being is not prepared to be able to handle such a level of expansion of consciousness or correctly integrate the field of knowledge that opens through these medicines, the expansion of consciousness can inflate the spiritual ego or cause ungrounded and delusional states. Thus, taking these medicines without preparation or ceremony will only create another paradigm of dependency, an unconscious substance use. This is what the psychedelic movement is all about, and this is why I totally reject it. Yeah. We must move from using plants to respectfully communing with them. This is what a ceremony is. It's a consecrated space, a sacred container for the purpose of spiritual communion. How do you create a sacred space? You come with an offering, meaning you have prepared yourself with purification rites. For instance, in our practice, we require everyone to take a strict 2-week diet before joining the ayahuasca ceremonies, which includes no sex, drugs, alcohol, caffeine, salt, sugar, oil, spices, dairy, red meat, and so on. And this is an important threshold because those looking to merely have a psychedelic trip or tick off an item on their bucket list will not have the fortitude to undertake such a preparation. Also, the ceremony has to be set in a natural environment, not in a clinic. Nature organically supports ceremony as it's constantly renewing itself and purifying the space. Furthermore, there are specific prayers and rituals to consecrate the space and set spiritual boundaries as to who and what can enter the space. This is the vitally important spiritual protection that is required whenever you take a consciousness-expanding substance, be it ayahuasca, mushrooms, or cannabis. That's why people get paranoid, because they're taking cannabis out of ceremony. So it's crucial to understand that the curandero has to be initiated into the work through years of spiritual training. They have to be able to perform very demanding spiritual operations like exorcism, soul retrieval, and soul release. And these sacred practices are learned in the traditional apprenticeship, which includes celibacy, years of celibacy, may I add, hundreds of ceremonies, social isolation, purification rites, and an extremely strict diet. So we're talking about a very serious training here, one that the shamanic apprentice has to commit to 100%. So you have to ask yourself, why do the leading voices in the psychedelic scene totally disregard all of these spiritual elements? In doing that, they reveal their true doctrine. They are materialists, meaning godless. By following the psychedelic neo-pharma paradigm, the ancient sacred traditions are driven into extinction, as already there are only a few of us left to keep this knowledge alive. Even here in Central and South America, the younger generations are very much becoming westernized and are rejecting the ceremonial healing traditions from their ancestors. This is why the wise among the natives welcome apprentices from the West, as they know that the poison is coming from our culture. And hence, that is where the medicine is most needed today. The beautiful thing is that once we commune with these sacred plant teachers, they will show us how to recover our own indigenous cultures, our own native remedies. And with these medicines, we can rebirth the ceremonial traditions that were violently robbed from our lands. If the sacred traditions are driven into extinction, if the art of ceremonial healing will fall beyond the veil of remembrance, humanity will lose itself. We will lose an integral, irrecoverable element of our very nature. For we will no longer have any example to look up to, nobody to reflect to us the image of what an indigenous, true human being is like, in his wholeness, with his soul and spirit intact. We will continue to see conditions that are incurable by the psychedelic neopharma, and our mental hospitals and prisons will continue to fill up with souls suffering from spiritual conditions that require a spiritual treatment. This is the reality for our sisters and brothers who have been labeled schizophrenic and told that there is an incurable chemical imbalance in the brain. I have personally treated these people, and they are not crazy. There are traumas so deep that they fracture the soul. So how do we help them? With ceremony. By calling the soul back home with prayer and Ikaros, the sacred healing songs, the profound healing potential of medicines like ayahuasca for those suffering with debilitating spiritual conditions is being purposefully hidden. Assisted suicide is on the rise as suicide pods providing chemically induced so-called blissful death are being manufactured in Switzerland, while Canada promotes MAID, medical assistance in death for people over 18, when quote-unquote medicines have not been able to make their mind feel better. I absolutely reject this paradigm. We need to resurrect the ceremonial traditions of our own cultures, and nobody will ever have to turn to suicide to ease their pain. The newest spiritual sickness of our time is artificial intellect-induced neurological conditions like ADHD and a new type of AI-induced psychosis. This kind of psychosis cannot be healed by a psychedelic facilitator with synthesized psychoactive compounds, for they too contain the very same artificial consciousness. It requires the living consciousness of nature, channeled in a precise manner, according to a spiritual science, in a protected ceremonial space, in order for the hostile programming to be removed and mental clarity to be restored. Do you see now how one of the most dangerous weapons of this great war against humanity is pharmakeia? The enemy is doing everything they can to damage our soul, whether it is through psychiatric drugs distorting our consciousness, vaccine sorcery implanting poison into our souls, or psychedelic psychiatry conceptualizing spirit and mystery out of our being. The psychedelic psychiatry is the imperialist wanting to conquer our inner landscapes and drive out whatever is foreign to its godless worldview. Ceremonial healing is about spiritual communion, where we humble ourselves in front of the great mystery. And through this sincere place of intentional surrender, we connect to the memory of thousands of years of man speaking to his maker. And through this bowing down of our souls, we remember, we heal, we return home. For there is only one source for true healing, only one power capable of literally renewing our souls, and that is the one true creator. So will we choose to lose the essence of humanity or rise up and embody our true nature as children of the Most High? This is the last battle, the last frontier. There is nowhere else to infiltrate. All other boundaries have already been crossed. The only land left to defend is the Holy Land, the land of our souls. And that is where we must build an impenetrable wall, a fortress of protection of the highest order. How do we do that? With real medicine, with incorruptible values, with responsibility, with integrity, with absolute commitment to truth, love, and liberation. Last autumn, my husband and I were holding a retreat, and an eagle kept coming to visit us every single night. This had never happened to us before. We would hear him soaring right above the maloka, our ceremonial space, calling into the night. Finally, on the last ceremony of the retreat, my husband, who is deeply connected to the eagles through the sacred tobacco, realized what was going on. And he said, "The eagle has delivered a message to us. He wants us to know you are not alone. We see you. We see your efforts. All of creation stands with you." So I want to share this message with you today. Remember who you are. Remember your divine origin. Thank you.
Are you sick of being told you will own nothing and be happy?
Are you sick of being told how to live your life by the mainstream media?
Exactly what people think, and this is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
Are you exhausted with the truth community focusing only on the problems?
Are you ready to do something about it?
Let's take action together. Join the Freedom Cell Network in January 2023 as we return with The Greater Reset for co-creation.
The Greater Reset is a five-day in-person and online gathering where solutions-focused speakers and organizations share practical steps for individual and collective liberation.
This year, we'll even hear experiences from real communities on the ground across multiple continents.
The Greater Reset 4 will focus on activating five focus areas over 5 days.
January 18th, liberate your mind, body, and soul.
January 19th, permaculture and food independence.
January 20th, agorism and parallel networks.
January 21st, take back our tech.
January 22nd, building free and conscious communities.
This is our time to co-create the world we want for 2030 and beyond.
Join us as we lay the foundation for the next stage of a free humanity.
Join us from January 18th to the 22nd, 2023, as we gather online, in person in Central Texas and Morelia, Mexico.
Join us for the Greater Reset 4, co-creation.
View the full speakers list and organize your local activation hub at thegreaterreset.org.